Have you ever noticed how grief doesn't follow a timeline? It crashes over you in waves, circles back when you least expect it, pools in quiet moments. This memoir refuses the neat arc of traditional storytelling because trauma itself doesn't work that way. Instead, it flows like water, sometimes gentle, sometimes drowning, always transforming everything it touches. What emerges is something rare, a book that makes you feel less alone in your own darkness, that transforms one woman's pain into something universally human. This isn't just another recovery story. It's a map of how we survive when everything breaks, how we find our voices after they've been stolen, and how we make families when our original ones fail us. After 38 hours of labor, her daughter was stillborn. Ripped from vagina to rectum, sewn closed, she sat bleeding in the shower. I became water. They placed her dead baby on her chest, eyelashes long, cheeks still red, lips a perfect rosebud. When they took her away, one thought crystallized. So this is death. Then a death life is what I choose. But how do you live after your baby dies? Language fails. So she collected rocks, from riverbanks, deep woods, ocean shores. She filled her house with these palm-sized worlds, built labyrinths on her floor, named them, bathed them weekly, carried them in her pockets. The rocks held something crucial. They were simultaneously living and dead in her hands, revealing an underlying tone and plot to your life underneath the one you've been told. Memory doesn't happen chronologically. It's fragments and repetitions, like water flowing around significant events. In her childhood home, the crybaby corner was where you stood facing the wall when you cried. Her sister would stop crying almost immediately, but she cried constantly about bedtime, strangers, Halloween, bees, Christmas trees. The sound of her father's belt on her sister's bare skin made her bite her lip and rock in corners, sometimes banging her head against walls. Her sister's silence during these whippings haunted her most. After her sister left when she was 10, she didn't speak to anyone outside her immediate family until age 13. When called on at school, her throat became the size of a straw, unable to produce sound. If forced to speak, she'd stand on one leg like a stork, arm behind her head, making an L shape, rocking until she lost balance, anything but speech. Her voice first emerged on paper, in a red notebook hidden under her bed, where she wrote about her father's anger, her love of swimming, her attraction to girls. At 11, she wrote, "In the house / alone in my bed, my arms ache. My sister is gone. My mother is gone." The silencing of girls happens through shame, violence, erasure. But in that silence, another kind of voice emerges, through the body, through art, through whatever medium allows expression when speech itself has been stolen. Swimming defined everything: her body, her escape, her power. At senior prom in Florida, she arm wrestled 5 boys before they all went skinny dipping in the competition pool where she trained 4 hours daily. Her body was stronger than ever, masculine in its power. Biceps of a son, breastless, hair erasing gender. At 15, her father moved them to Gainesville for Randy Reese, the best swim coach in the nation. She couldn't understand abandoning Coach Ron Koch, the only man who'd shown her kindness, who'd explained menstruation when she thought she was dying, who celebrated her victories. Florida's water was all wrong. Reese barely noticed her, showing only clipboard numbers and administering licks with kickboards for every pound overweight. The pool became a place of shame, indistinguishable from home. Jimmy Carter's Olympic boycott eliminated even the possibility of glory. Swimming was where her body felt powerful rather than violated, the one arena where she had agency. Losing it devastated her. At 13, after confessing father secrets to a priest, he dismissed her. "Honor thy father, say 7 Hail Marys. It's wicked to make up stories." For 3 days, she prayed desperately, clenching her hands until scarlet moons appeared. "My head, my heart, everything on the inside was burning." Mercy came from a book, Saint Joan of Arc. She read how they placed a tall paper cap on Joan's head instead of a crown of thorns, how Joan didn't die until fire reached her head, how witnesses saw a dove leaving her skull. Despite accelerants, her entrails and heart would not go to ash. She became the rest of my life a burning girl. Joan's burning became her new religion. Face skyward, faith muscled up like a holy war. In Joan, she found permission to burn with her own voice. Words gushed from her body like a loosened blood clot. She wrote story after story until it became a book. Her first book beat her dissertation to print. She created a literary journal, huge, 9x12, four-color counterculture, where image and text warred and danced. Art became where she could transform pain into beauty, find her voice after years of silence. They say every woman marries her father, but through Michael and Dean, she learned family could be chosen, not just inherited. Her son Miles was conceived in their house, the only place she truly felt home. When Miles was born, his thunderous life force pressed against her heart, the opposite of the implosion when her daughter died. In Oregon, they found sanctuary, a house of two octagons surrounded by forest, with 360-degree windows showing only trees. She won't paint Andy as a magical man-savior. Couples sanitize their relationships, hiding fights. But some fighting isn't ugly. Anger becomes energy given form. At Salishan Resort on the Oregon coast, she brought Andy and 5-year-old Miles to where her family once worked. At the pool, Miles announced his game. "I'm going to put my whole head underwater." With goggles on, holding his nose, he counted to 3 and submerged. They repeated it endlessly. In this water with her boy and her man, she could barely breathe. It was family. Hers. Here's the truth. You have to make family up. If your birth family failed you, create a new one. This didn't end inside marriage and family in the regular way. She loves her family. Andy and Miles rebirthed her. And she loves women. The things that happen to us are true. The stories we tell are writing, a body away from us, with forms and contortions, resistances and lies. If you're like her, you don't deserve most of what's happened. But you're not alone. There's another love, the love of art. In art, she's met an army, a tribe giving company, courage, and hope. Through writing, she brought dreams to the tips of words, breathing body to body to resuscitate a self. Her mother did not protect her. As a girl, she died. When her child died in her womb, it felt like she'd killed a girl she meant to love. It took 10 years to emerge from her daughter's death. Beautiful things appear in dark places. This book is for you. It's water she made a path through. Come in. The water will hold you. Your body isn't a cage. It's the vessel through which you'll find your voice. Write your truth. Make your family. Burn with your own fire. To reclaim your story is to reclaim your life.